Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You are listening to the Build Your Network podcast.
If you're tired of the old way of networking, the business cards, the awkward conversations, and the aggressive pitches, but you know how crucial your network is to your success in life, then you're in the right place. Welcome to Build Your Network, the only top-rated show committed to helping you master content networking, foster real relationships, increase your authority, and build the network of your dreams. Listen in on conversations with world-class entrepreneurs, authors, thought leaders, and more as we deconstruct their best strategies for your success. So get ready to burn your business cards, ditch the name tag, and discover the new way to network with your host, Travis Chappell.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Network podcast. Today, I have the distinct pleasure sitting down with Casey Patterson. Casey is a four-time Emmy and two-time PGA Awards nominated executive producer, and she heads Casey Patterson Entertainment, a full-service production company producing content, live events, and talent-driven series and specials. Casey served as lead executive producer of Vax Live, which was co-chaired by Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, and produced and directed Loretta Lynn's star-studded tribute celebration, in addition to things like Lip Sync Battle, A Very Murray Christmas, the MTV Movie and TV Awards, the Comedy Awards, the Concert of the Century at the White House, Saturday Night Live 25th Anniversary Special, Vogue Fashion Awards, VH1's Divas Live, NBC's Concert for America, and many, many more. Maybe you've heard of one or two of those things, and that's probably why you're tuning in to this episode. Casey, I'm super excited to bring you on the show and chat for a second. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. That bio was exhausted. I'm exhausted all over again.
Well, hey, congrats on all the success that you've already been seeing. You deserve every single bit of it. I want to talk a little bit, build some context for those that are listening and let them get to know you a little bit better. So if we can rewind the clock here, Casey, talk to us about what it was like, you know, 14-year-old Casey, what were you up to back then? Where'd you grow up? What was your family life like? And we'll jump into a couple of things that you're working on right now.
I was, well, as it relates to my career, though, that time period was pretty critical and formative. Around, let's say 14, 15, I was that kid going home after school, watching MTV. I was most definitely the I Want My MTV generation, which really moved me in a way into the sort of exact path that I ended up following. I remember going home with my friends after school and sort of being drawn to the pop culture. It was the first time that a network was speaking directly to teens. Mm. You know, it was really amazing that you were sort of like a Disney kid or you watched children's television, and then you sort of graduated to family television with your family, but there was nothing that sort of spoke to that moment in time, that coming of age on television. Yeah. So it spoke to me. I was there for the pop culture for sure. But I think the thing that resonated most was that they did this masterful job of blending it with a social consciousness. So it felt more like a movement just in watching MTV. I felt like, yeah, it speaks to me. These are the artists that I want to see. And these are the stories that I want to hear about them. And they gave me all the things that I needed to feel cool and of the moment and things to talk about with my friends and emulate. But they also were doing things. They were also sending us messages, like real messages about things that were going on in the world that we should care about, things like Rock the Vote or Choose or Lose, Live Aid, Live Earth. There's a social consciousness baked into that brand that really made me feel like I was watching it for the content, but I felt like I was a part of something bigger than myself. And I think in those early formative years, I understood. That's my first real looking back. It's my understanding, my real context for understanding what a good brand really is, and that is to stand for something bigger than just the product.
Hmm. And was this something that you think was unique to you where you grew up? You were in like Florida, is that right, growing up?
I was born in Florida, but then I was raised, my mom remarried an English gentleman when I was really young. So I was raised primarily between St. Croix and England. And wow. The I Want My MTV years were in the Caribbean in St. Croix. So we were, gotcha. I think it's probably why it was all the more important. The island, St. Croix is, I think, 7 miles long and 14 miles wide. So you are on a rock in the middle of the, like, no concerts are coming to you. Movies are coming to you months late. Yeah. I think the daytime soaps in the US were our prime time viewing. There was one station, but thank God, you know, we somehow found our way to MTV, and that was really like it was a hearth for us.
Yeah, sure. How cool is it for you to be able to kind of grow up watching that, and then to be able to kind of almost basically start your career as a talent booker over at MTV?
I did. That was just the goal. It spoke to me then, and I knew then and there that. I knew then and there that was, you know, above and beyond. I knew that I wanted to be in entertainment. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew that I wanted to duplicate that feeling of being moved by content, and that feeling of, I understood then without being able to articulate it, just the idea that it was a way, it's something that we could all come together around.
Yeah.
Right. It was a point of discussion. It informed our, you know, the way that we dressed. It informed the way, the nomenclature and the way that we spoke. And it was just, it was pretty incredible. So I knew then and there that would be the dream. And I sort of, it was pretty much the only thing I wanted to do. And I'm very fortunate that they let me in the door. And I did start in the talent department. John Sykes gave me my first job at MTV Networks. I was in the talent department. I was an assistant to the head of the department, and then pretty quickly worked my way up to like a junior booker and then a booker and then ran the department. And I think it became pretty clear. There wasn't really a path for talent bookers to move into production. It really was like, if you were on that talent booking path, that's what you were.
You were sort of
boxed in. But it became really clear, and especially in that environment, that these shows, that, you know, MTV Networks was so known for tentpole events, right? Movie awards and VMAs and EMAs and all of those other sort of big one-off events that I mentioned, or even like Spring Break and those, all of those shows, everything was talent driven. And the talent bookers, I noticed pretty early on, you know, whether it was acknowledged or not, were the most important voice in the room, because all you're doing is trying to build this platform, this hour or this 2 hours that talent will say yes to, that feel organic and of the culture in such a way that talent wants to join you and wants to be a part of it. And the good ones, they feel like it's part of them. You know, the early days of the VMAs were very much like that. That was music's night out. The artist took ownership over that show. Really felt like it was them and represented them well. So I was able, I sort of saw that early on, and I was encouraged within that company to grow. And there wasn't a lot of that happening at the time. And I'm so thankful to them that they recognized that and would give me sort of more authority show by show in building those formats with them and building them for bespoke for the talent community. And the more sort of success we had, eventually I was able to sort of take over executive produce those shows and then take over live event production and film studio relations. It was a really fantastic path for me.
Why and how did you make the transition from, you know, talent development? And in your words, you know, there wasn't a lot of room for, you know, bridging that gap between talent booking and producing. But you managed to do it. And you managed to do it at a very high level. Why was that the path that you ended up going down? And how do you think you were able to make that leap when there were a lot of other people who couldn't?
I think I was able to make that leap because I was working. I was working in a company and in a culture that really valued the voice of the demographic. So Judy McGrath was a rare female leader at MTV Networks at that time. She's one of the founders who built the walls and built that brand into a cultural icon. And she set an example of leadership that was really inclusive. A lot of the things that we talk about now, she was encouraging and doing at the time. So she, you know, a great example of that is Judy was never happier than, you know, to be in a boardroom with all of her executives, the head programmers, the head developers, the producers. And she would insist that interns and assistants and young people in talent departments and creative people be invited into the room, not only just to listen and to be a part of it and to learn, but also to contribute. And she was never happier than when the best idea would come from, you know, someone answering phones, The intern with the mohawk, she felt at the time and sort of encouraged us all to have a voice and to have a unique voice and to use it and to be distinctive. I think at the time they created something called spot bonuses. So if you were an assistant in the room and you had the best idea, and it didn't matter if your idea beat an executive vice president's idea, yours would win, best idea wins. And then they would spot bonus employees who had a big idea and you got to stay with the project. So it was the culture. It was the culture of that company at the time.
How have relationships like that one with maybe people who have been leaders in your life or now you as a leader in other people's lives and a mentor to other people? How important have those types of relationships been for you in your career?
Oh God, they've been everything. It's so interesting. I spent the early part of my career thinking I need everyone to sort of see and understand me and what it is I'm trying to say. And the truth is, that never happens. You just need a few people and the right people to see you, like-minded people. There's really no replacement. There's no getting around that you need to be working with like-minded people. You share values and ideas and a work ethic and a goal. You're all equally as passionate. So in various chapters, you know, it all happens in chapters, but in various chapters, the right people, I don't know if it was everyone, but the right people saw me at the right time. And they were pretty, you know, those mentors were pretty, they were great. They moved me forward. They were the ones to say, hey, I think you can do this. It wasn't me not knocking down their door saying, hey, I'd like a new opportunity.
Sure.
They would come to me and encourage me. They would see it in me and encourage me. And I'm so fortunate that that's the case.
This episode of the show is brought to you by Indeed. We are driven for the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is not to search at all. So stop searching and start matching with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. It is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates even faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. In fact, 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And look, if you're trying to hire somebody, probably the best chances of knowing that person's going to be good is that it comes with a personal recommendation from somebody that you already know, right? Somebody that you trust, a friend of yours, a business owner who maybe already knows this person and they worked together a couple years ago and they want to put you in touch because they think it might be a good fit, right? Because they are doing the matching for you and you trust that person to do that match for you. So the negative to job sites is that you don't have any sifting through the quality of the candidates before they end up in your inbox. You just have to search through, look at resumes, hope that people are being honest, because let's be honest, a lot of people aren't. And so one of the things I really love about Indeed is that not only is it sending you quality candidates, but the matching platform, the matching algorithm continues to get better the more you use it. So it gets to know your preferences, your likes, your dislikes, the things that are going to make your hiring successful specifically. So it leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, which means it's constantly learning from your own preferences. So the more that you use it, the better it gets at bringing you the best candidates for the job. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Travis. Just go to Indeed.com/Travis right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Travis. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you look at all the different, you know, contributing factors to the success that you've been able to see, Casey, what stands out to you as being kind of the top of that list? Meaning that there's countless numbers of people who want to have some sort of a career, sustainable career in entertainment. And there's not that many people that end up having that type of career. And you've been one of them, been able to produce stuff, you know, like with Bill Murray and with The Rock, and to produce Lip Sync Battle, which has been a hit show. And you've had so many different, just success after success after success. And now, which you're working on recently, has 2 Emmy nominations. And you've just been doing this for a couple of decades at an extremely high level. What would you contribute that? What would you contribute that to?
A real love for the creative community, a real love for, I guess if you look across the sort of the list that you've been going through, it isn't just music, it isn't just comedy, it isn't just sort of award shows. It's just, I guess it's 2 things. It's a love of the creative community, like a real respect for what they do. And thanks to my sort of my corporate upbringing, understanding audiences and how they relate to those people. And if you're the person in between, you know, like the fans love these comedians or musicians or actors and their work. And we have the ability to stage these great moments or these great nights or these big entertainment properties. And I think longevity, one, you have to love the community and you have to love the content and you have to really respect that connection of the, which is precious. It's sort of rarefied air that exists between, you know, celebrities and their fans. And I think so you have to be grounded in that, but I think that my success from there has come from over the years, sort of understanding what it is I wouldn't be good at and kind of staying true to the people that I am genuinely drawn to. I think I'm probably a muse person. You know, I think writers, you know, often have muses or artists have muses, but I think I'm coming to understand that I'm the same way. So when I meet someone and I sort of see them or I relate to them in some way, or I respect the person that they are on top of the art. And I just, you know, you kind of have to fall in love a little, because creating these things from scratch with partners like the ones that you're describing, they are trusting us. Like if you're working with a Dwayne Johnson, his name is on it too, as a co-creator and a producer. He has a brand of his own. It's really important to him. It's really important to the fans. He stands for something really specific in the world, and you have to love that thing and protect that brand and his message and the way that he would want the story told with your life. You really have to take their reputation as seriously as you take yours. And the best way to guarantee that that's going to happen is to be a fan of their work yourself. So I tend to work with people that I adore. I adore Dwayne. He is the real thing. He's the real thing. He's as spectacular as everyone thinks he is. People respond to him in the way that they do in mass, because he's very grounded in those principles that he shares. He is a spectacular. You can only imagine if that person is in your corner and your partner, the things that you might be able to do together. So I think it has to be grounded in a respect for their path, their journey, what it is they stand for. And then you're sort of you're the architect, right? You really have to sort of protect them. And what ends up happening over the years is you build a level of trust and respect as new things, you know, come to pass or new projects come to pass. You sort of get very excited about, you know, growing those relationships and doing new things and new genres with the people that you love. So I tend to stick pretty close to the people that I respect as human beings now. This last, I would say 5 years or so, I'm really, really selective. I have no interest in volume, which my, you know, agents and everyone around you don't like to hear. No interest in volume whatsoever. I just all about quality, quality of the product, but also now I'm more focused on quality of the experience we have together. I am very fortunate to be here. And I think it's important to carve out enough time and breathing room when making things to enjoy the making of things and enjoy the people that you're doing it with.
I love that answer. And it comes down to the core concept of our entire show's existence, which is relationships are at the root of everything. And you said it best in saying that, you know, over time you build trust, you build respect for one another. And that's how that longevity is sustained over that long of a period of time. And congrats to you on all the success you've been seeing. Congrats on the recent Emmy nominations. That's amazing.
Thank you. Those are very meaningful to us because they were born of charity and born of the moment. We were nominated for the West Wing special to benefit When We All Vote, which is Mrs. Obama's nonpartisan voting organization that was genuinely doing God's work in this last election on trying to overcome the obstacles of the pandemic in voting, but also overcome the decibel of the division and the misinformation. And as you can imagine, when you can't get out there, boots on the ground and knock on doors and gather in mass, what an extraordinary challenge that was for them at the time. And I'm so grateful to Aaron Sorkin and that cast and Mrs. Obama and Valerie Jarrett and that team for the partnership there, because we were able to, it was a content that we're very proud of, and I'm thrilled that it's being recognized and nominated by the Emmys. But the real win is I think we were able to do some good in a really difficult time. So that this one is, I've been nominated a few times, but this one is particularly meaningful.
And that's the awesome thing about what you've been able to do so far, Casey, is that now a lot of the projects you're able to take on are things, like you said, that are about quality and enriching the lives of everybody around you and those that don't even know that you're the one behind the scenes pulling a lot of the strings. And you'll never know in this life the impact that you're able to have on those people. So I appreciate you for everything you do in the world. I know you got to go. I know you got a lot of things on your plate, so I don't want to continue taking up your time. But this has been a pleasure sitting down and having a conversation with you. Hopefully we can maybe do it again in the future in studio or something like that.
Thanks so much for having me. Really nice to talk to you, Travis. Thanks.
That's it for this episode. If you want to connect with Travis and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, then you're going to want to head over to travischappell.com/group to join his free Facebook group, Podcast to Profit. Travis will see you there. And remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.